The political situation in our country has reached the point that I am terrified. I cannot remember a time in my life that I've ever been more afraid for the government of our country. I know that you know, because all of you have televisions and most of you watch the news, but I know that as you watch the news every day, that you know there's a large group of people committed to bring our nation down. We just celebrated the 4th of July, 242 years, and yet there are people that are determined to end government as we know it. If you watch Fox News, you know that Jesse Waters has been out on the street asking questions. He asked people, young people, define socialism to me. And as of the last time I watched him, not one single person has been able to define socialism, which can be defined this way: you're spending other people's money. Now, a man running for president promised this nation free education, free college, free medical benefits. Who's going to pay for that? And yet these people running around, that's what they're looking for. We are really in danger of throwing away what our nation gained in 1776. We're close, folks. I majored in history, but I majored in history 50-something years ago. And the history books that I studied are no longer studied, because now there's little in there about our founding fathers' faith. Now they say they were all deists, if not atheists outright. No, we didn't form this country on God, they say. Now, I don't know where you stand, but I know this. We better not forget where we've come from. We better not forget where we've come from, and we better not forget the price that's been paid for me and you to sit here today as free men and women. A price was paid. Our founding fathers set it up this way. But we are in grave danger, so don't look to Washington. They ain't going to do it. Don't look for politicians to do what only God can do. And if only God can do it, it starts not in Washington, it starts right here and in church next door and the church down the road. If this nation turns around, it will not turn around because we voted someone into Washington that made it happen. If it turns around, it's going to turn around when the hallways of the church are packed with people coming to get on their faces or get in their pews and magnify the matchless name of Jesus. And friends, let me tell you something. If our country goes in the tank, it's mine and your fault, because we know who can change it. And sending people to Washington is not going to change anything. We've got to remember our Christian obligation. We must remember. As you can see by the title, don't forget to remember. Let me read you something. Peter, at the close of his life, wrote this: I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory. I'm standing on what Peter said. Very few people today are not overwhelmed already with problems. Problems with their work, problems with the family, problems with the financing, problems with their children, problems with their health, problems with their parents, problem with getting old, and problems with church demands. We can get so caught up in those things that we do what? We forget. We forget God. There's never seems to be a free moment for us to plan. How long has it been since you had nothing to do and decided you would go and read a chapter in the Bible and spend some time in prayer? How long has it been since we remembered what God has done for us? When the Hebrews crossed the Jordan River, leaving slavery and going into the promised land, they built a monument. Each one of the 12 tribes brought a rock, and they built a monument there to say, every time we pass by here, we will remember what God has done for us. He delivered us from slavery to the promised land. They had a monument that would be there so going up and down the roads, they would always see the reason they got there. Folks, we're in danger of forgetting our Savior. We're so busy, we're Christians, we are so busy that we forget who saved us. We forget why he saved us. We forget that his life on the cross bought us eternal life. We forget, my friends, we forget to our own loss, to our own loss. Listen to what Peter said. I read a moment ago, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them. I'm not going to say anything this morning that any Christian in this house doesn't already know. We know, but what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? Listen, because I love you, I'm going to remind you every Sunday that we need to get back to the Lord. We need to get back to our first commitment. And if you've never made a first commitment, do it today. But get on God's side. Get on God's side. You know, before the elections, there's a great movement out there that every citizen vote. It's your civic obligation. Well, I got news for you. Every Christian gets to vote too every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. Now you're voting. Your presence this morning is a vote for him. Your absence this morning is a vote for him. So who are you voting for? Who is the world voting for? You don't expect Washington to turn things around, do you? We vote every service, my friend. We have an obligation not to forget our Lord. An obligation. You made it. I made it. We will not forget him who died for us. So I have 3 points on this morning. And the first one is 3 kinds of Christians, actually. 3 kinds of Christians, 3 points. And the first one is the faithless Christian who quickly forgets God. His faith is so shallow, his commitment is so meaningless, that he just forgets God. Now, in Jeremiah 2:32, God asks, does a maiden forget her jewelry? Does a bride forget her wedding dress? Now, just look at what God asks. Does a woman ever get up and forget her jewelry and her makeup? I like the other one better. Will a bride show up for her wedding and forget her wedding dress is at home? Now, when you look at that and you say, well, that's 2 ridiculous questions. That will never happen. Well, let me ask you, will a Christian forget his God? Will a Christian forget his God? If we say, oh, no bride will ever forget her wedding dress, well, will you forget who saved you? Will you forget what church you belong to? Would you forget those things? Listen, bride's never going to forget her wedding dress. The question for us is, are we going to forget our God? Is Pine Hill Baptist Church going to come here every Sunday morning? Those who happen to remember it Sunday and happen to get out here on Sunday, we're going to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And next Sunday we'll be gone and that other group will come in and they'll sing the same thing again. Have we forgotten God? Listen, the Bible, God said in the book of Isaiah, though she may forget her wedding dress, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. The Hebrews had a monument, and every time they walked by it, it said, remember me, I brought you from slavery to the promised land. Remember me, I brought you through the wilderness to the promised land. Remember me, remember me. What happens in your heart when we go by the church? What happens in your heart when you see the family Bible? What happens in your heart when you see the Sunday school book? If you'd ask a Jew right into the promised land, now later they forgot. See, we got a great example of what happens when people come from nothing to greatness and how quickly they forget. If you'd ask a Jewish person when they first got to the promised land, why are you here? You want to go back to Egypt? And they would say, no, you don't understand. God has delivered us from slavery. He's brought us to this wonderful, beautiful country, a country that's flowing with milk and honey. No, I wouldn't go back. Well, when he looked at you this morning, when he looked at me this morning, did we have the same kind of feeling toward him? If you ask a Christian on the street, have you ever forgot, do you forget God? He'd say, of course not, of course not. I wouldn't dare do that. And then we justify why we're not serving him. We're so busy. Our health is bad. This is wrong. It's a vacation time. It's this time. It's that time. And you know, pretty soon we believe our own lie. We believe our own lie that we make to him. We tell him a lie for not serving him and then turn around and believe that's the way it really is. We believe it. We believe it. It's easy to forget God in this busy world. But let me read you something. In Deuteronomy, the Bible says, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Satan's going to fill our time. He'll fill our mind. A faithless soul soon loses his memory of God. A faithless soul soon remembers his memory of God. Doesn't mean a lot to him. Doesn't mean a lot to him. Now, God anticipated that there would be faithless Christians. Let me tell you, I want you to carefully, please carefully listen to what he said. Foolish Christians, listen. In Deuteronomy, the Bible says, if you forget the Lord your God and follow after other gods and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Now, God said that. I'm going to put you in a wonderful land. I'm going to give you prosperity. I'm going to give you freedom. But if you forget me, he says, I'll guarantee you I will destroy you. Did he destroy those people he was talking to? Yes. Will he do it again? What does Hebrews 13:8 said? God is the same yesterday, today, and when? Forever. Why do we think we're any different than Judah or Israel? You think we're any better than they are? Better than they were, excuse me. God said what? If you forget, I testify against you, you will be destroyed. Christians, we better get up and get in our places and start living right and praying right and witnessing right and letting the world know that regardless of what happens in Washington, as Joshua told the people when they got to the promised land, y'all can scatter out and do what you want to do, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Would you take that commitment? Would you make that commitment? That's a faithless Christian. Soon fails. My second point is a foolish Christian. The foolish Christian forgets God's house and God's word. Now, I don't know. We baptized this morning. How many of y'all? Let's take a show of hands. How many of you remember the day you were baptized? Raise your hand. It was a meaningful day, wasn't it? Well, that symbolized that Jesus saved you and you followed him into the grave of the past and came out of there in new life in his service. So you really got born into a new life after you got born again when you troubled the baptismal water. Now, are we going to forget that? Are we going to forget that? Well, the Bible says a foolish Christian does. Listen to this. In 2 Chronicles, the Bible says, although the Lord sent prophets to the people to bring them back to him, they would not listen. Isn't that a tragic statement? Although the Lord sent prophets that would bring them back, revival, they would not listen. You say, doggone it, how could they do that when they had Ezekiel, when they had Joshua, when they had Jeremiah, when they had Isaiah, when they had those other great prophets? How could they not go back to God? Well, in my lifetime, we've had Billy Graham. We've got David Jeremiah. We got Ed Young Sr. We got Charles Stanley. We got Mac Brunson, as great of preachers as have ever lived. They're preaching in their churches and on television all the time. And if you like someone of the past, there are two great preachers that you can hear. Their preaching is still on the air. They're still on the air, my friend. You can turn on and you can get J. Vernon McGee through the Bible in 5 years. You know, I read that J. Vernon McGee said to this to that organization of his through the Bible in 5 years when he was dying, and he said, "Don't keep that on the air any longer than it pays for itself. Put it out of business when people no longer pay to hear it." And today it's five times larger than it was when J. Harold McGee was preaching live. See, people are listening somewhere. People are listening somewhere. They're out there, brother. You can listen to Adrian Rogers, one of God's great preachers. Now, what did God say? Although the Lord sent prophets to the people to bring them back, they would not listen. We're living in that age. You can turn your television on this morning and hear some of the greatest preachers that have ever preached in the history of Christianity. Now, I hope you don't stay home. That's not your church, and that's one of the reasons I love David Jeremiah. He wants you to listen, but he tells you you got to be in your local church. Those preachers that are out there thousands of miles away, not your pastor. Listen. Let me tell you something. Most of us are familiar with the great name, John Hopkins. There's a John Hopkins University. There's a John Hopkins Medical Center. Great, great doctors come out of there. They're doing a research project right now on why do people forget. It's amazing. Let me read you some of the statistics. Now, this is for long-range study on forgetting. They are discovered as of now, 83% of people do not remember names. They forget names. This has nothing to do with age, by the way. Nothing to do with age. 57% forget phone numbers. 53% forget words. They can't remember that word. 49% forget what was said. 42% forget faces. You know, this is not a religious study they're doing. I wish I'd add one more question. What percentage of people forget God? What percentage of people forget God? Well, I don't know how much, but I'll tell you what, I can help you a little bit. A whole lot of our church members forget God every Sunday, right? Y'all can say amen. All right. If you one of them has been forgetting, how do we do it? How do we do it? The foolish Christian may get busy in this world, may forget his salvation and commitment to God, but you know God never forgets. Matter of fact, through Peter, he said, "Do not forget this one thing, Christian. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." God gives foolish Christians time to remember him and to repent. If you're living and your heart's beating right now and the trumpet's not about to blow and take us into eternity, you have a chance. You still got a few seconds. You still got a few seconds. But remember, been preaching on the rich man, the rich farmer, who had all that great harvest and decided that he was going to build those great barns. He was going to retire. He was going to take it easy for the rest of his life. And God said, "Listen, Mr. Farmer, you're a fool. What you don't know is tonight you're dying. Tonight you're programmed to die tonight. Then who's going to get it?" He's still on the throne. The third Christian that forgets is a fruitless Christian. The fruitless Christian. He forgets his responsibility and his commitment to God. You know, God did not save you just to live out the rest of your life like you wanted to live it out. He didn't just save you to sit in a pew, though I hope you will. None of that, my friend. God saved you for a purpose. For a purpose. Listen to this. The Bible says, Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who handles the word of truth. You know, after we die, and all of us will, I hope you know that all of us will either die or the rapture is going to take place. All of us will die or he'll jerk us up out of this world. All of us will go and appear to something called the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, you're going to have some private time with Jesus. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body. We must give an account to Jesus Christ for our lives. Let me explain this to you. When your time comes to stand before Jesus, there is no record of your past sin in heaven. I think I preached on this last Sunday. There is no record in heaven that you have ever committed a sin if you're a Christian. But when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, while there is no sin on record there, he has an absolute record of the day you were saved, how much you pray, how much you read the Bible, how much you study, how much you attend church, how much you give, and on down the line. He's got a complete, immaculate record for every Christian. It starts not the day you were born. It starts the day that you were saved. That's when it starts. Now, nobody's going to go to hell from the judgment seat of Christ. Lost people don't go to this one. They go to the great white throne judgment. But you as Christians, I as a Christian, we will go and we will stand before Jesus. We get a private moment with him. Our records are there. How much? He's got a record of your church attendance, your Bible reading, your prayer time, your witnessing time. He's got all that. And that's where we'll talk about. That's what he's going to talk to us about when we stand at the judgment seat, that complete record there. Now, it's a record that we can't deny. Actually, I think it's going to be this way since, you know, 25 years ago, I couldn't have preached this, couldn't have said this in a sermon that didn't exist. You know, I came to realize how many people live in the world. I'm chasing a rabbit. How many people live in the world, your children and your grandchildren, have never lived in a world where there's no cell phones, where there's no television, where there's no Wi-Fi. You know, my children and I went up on a mountain this weekend. None of those things were available up there. My grandson said, "It's stupid if anybody do that." And all of his life, he's never lived in when he didn't turn the television on, when he didn't have a Wi-Fi after he got big enough to use it. He didn't have any. He never lived in a world. He's a grown man. These younger people here, they've never lived in a world. My daughter that was here Sunday a week ago said, she teaches the first grade. Every one of the first grade kids come in with a telephone. If you told my granddaddy that, he'd have spit his tobacco juice and walked away from you because he doesn't talk to fools. Listen, my friend. When we stand in the face of Jesus, he's got a perfect record. A perfect record. We will look into the face of the one who took our sins to a cross 2,000 years ago, even though you and I had not been born, we had not committed our sins, but he knew we were going to, and he took all of our sins to the cross, and he was punished for what you've done, what I've done. Got to look at him. Got to look at him. Got to look him in the face. Some of us are going to have some hard things to explain. Excuse me. We're going to have our private time with him at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, wait until the Lord comes and he'll bring to light what is hidden in darkness. He will expose the motive in men's hearts. He knows all, sees all, records all. Only a foolish Christian would not be preparing to stand before him on that day. Only a foolish Christian. Only a fruitless Christian would not be preparing to stand before him. Only a faithless Christian would not be preparing to stand before him. Because he's going to look us in the face and say, why? 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 And there are no answers. No good answers. There are plenty of answers, but you're not going to give those. You're going to say, because I wanted to take a Sunday off. Or as one of my wife's relatives used to say, Sunday is the only day I've got to do my laundry, wash my car, and cut the grass. And that's what they did on Sunday. Now, I also preached his funeral. I did not tell people he went to heaven. You know, to the best of my ability, I don't lie at a funeral. I'll walk around the truth, but I'm not going to lie. Couldn't lie over that guy. You know, he made a decision, and he will have to die, and he died with it. Listen, only fruitless, faithless, unfruitful Christians are not preparing to stand before God. You're going to stand there and I'm going to stand there. I won't answer for you. Well, I will in a way. I'll answer if I don't tell you the truth, which I'm telling you this morning. I will answer for that. But we will never, never, never be able to explain our neglect. We know we can never explain our indifference or our forgetting Him. You know, what did God say to Jeremiah? Will a bride show up at her wedding without her wedding dress? You know, I've had a couple of weddings where they showed up without the marriage license, and I didn't do a word until I had it in my hand. I will not do a wedding for you to mama to run home and get the marriage license as soon as this service is over. No, we're going to stay till I've got my signature on the marriage license. If you forget it, I probably shouldn't even do a wedding. A bride doesn't forget her wedding dress. You ladies don't forget your jewelry or your makeup. How can we forget Him who died for us, who gave His life on an agonizing cross for every sin I've committed? How can we ignore the church that He died for? Let me conclude this. No Christian should ever be foolish or faithless or unfruitful. No Christian should. We got no one to blame but ourselves. We got no one to blame but ourselves. But here's the good news. There is one more day, and that's today. If you read the Bible carefully, it never goes beyond today and eternity. It stops with today, and it starts with eternity. That in between, you got no guarantee. There is no one in this building that can guarantee me you'll be alive tomorrow. Many, many years ago, a lady called me and said, my husband's drunk. Would you come down here and try to deal with him? And I went down, and he all but threw me out of his house. I walked back to my house. I walked because it was so close to my house. And when I got back to my house, the phone was ringing, and his wife said, I believe he's had a heart attack. By the time I went back down there, he was dead. That's how much time we got. You've got time, and I've got time to make a total, complete commitment to Him that will last until our time comes. Our time will come. Every one of us in here are predestined to die or be in the rapture. But all of us are predestined to stand before Jesus and give an account of our lives. It won't have anything to do with sin. It starts the day you were saved and goes to the day you face Him. Are you ready to face Him today? Bow your heads with me. Think about it. Are you ready to face Him this morning? Are you ready to say, hey, Lord, it's good to be home? Or would you say, Lord, I wish I'd had a few more minutes. I might have recommitted my life. Our invitation this morning is very simple. Of course, if you're lost this morning, I haven't spoken to you. But if you'd like to know the plan of salvation, I'll be glad to share it with you. All you got to do is come forward. If you'd like to be a member of our church and you will commit yourself to serve the Lord, we'd like for you to do that. Just come and tell us what you want to do. But if you're here this morning and you're not quite ready to meet Jesus, and you know you're predestined to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you'd like to get a little bit better, make a new commitment to Him, I want to ask you, as we do an invitation this morning, that you just do what God tells you to do. If He puts a want to in your heart, that's all He can do. He cannot push you out of that aisle. But if you pray right now and say, Lord, what would you have me do in this invitation this morning? Would you just do it? Because He won't tell you anything but what He wants you to do. Would you do that? Would you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, you know I'm not quite ready to stand before you. What do you want me to do? He'll tell you what to come and do. Come and make a commitment. You don't say anything to me. Just come and kneel. If you can't kneel, just take a seat for a few seconds on the front pew and just make it right with Him. We're not going to sing this morning. We're just stand with me right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed.